Further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with, and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Hans Jorgensen from St. Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Paul. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray. God of six-year-olds as well as 86-year-olds, we come into this time asking much. We ask for wisdom, we ask for patience, we ask for passion, and we particularly ask for compassion. Calm our hearts, fill our lungs with spirit, emblazon our minds with insight, and guide us in awareness as we serve this state and the people who need us today. God of turkey farmers as well as tattoo artists, we come into this time thankful for much. We're thankful for colleagues who support us as well as those who think differently but refine our common efforts into something more useful. We give thanks for formal processes and personal relationships. We give thanks for friends and family who welcome us freely. We give thanks for belly laughs and tears that remind us what matters. God of all, be with those who watch and wait. Strengthen the weak and nourish the hungry. Bathe us in goodness of spirit and strengthen us as one in our multifaceted talents and interests for the work of today. In humility we pray. Amen.
Flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all.
I have a grandchild that's six and a mother that's 88.
Oh, we're pretty close.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fischbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rood, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move first to the second order of business, executive and official communications. Please make note of that. Third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 1218, a bill for an act relating to legislative enactments, correcting erroneous, ambiguous, and omitted text and obsolete references. Senate file number 1218 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendment by the House to Senate file number 1218 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
And this is a House Journal, May 5th, page number 4364 to 4365, and third reading, Senate Journal, April 9th, page number 1508.
That's correct, Madam President. Madam President, there was a very small amendment, no more than five words long, and all it did was a technical clarification of a definition of an administrator. And other than that, the bill was identical to the Senate version.
Okay. All those in favor of the Limmer motion, say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Is there any discussion? Then the Secretary will give Senate File 1218 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1218, a bill for an act relating to legislative enactments, correcting erroneous, ambiguous, and omitted text and obsolete references.
Secretary will take the roll.
Thank you.
All members having voted that desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 450, 1556, and 1193. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. The bills printed on the agenda will be given their first reading and referred as indicated. Fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted with the exception of reports pertaining to appointments.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports pertaining to appointments be laid on the table.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. The bills printed on the agenda will be given their second reading. Eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are authors' motions to be accepted as one motion, adopted as one motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Latz.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 2143 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
And this is your bill?
Yes, it is, and I've confirmed with the Judiciary Chair that it's acceptable to do this.
What about the Rules Chair?
I think the Rules Chair agrees as well.
Right. Any discussion on the Latz motion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate Resolution number 147 and 148 will be referred to the Committee on Rules. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that House File 1437 be taken from the table and given its second reading.
On the motion to remove House File 1437 from the table, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. House File 1437 is given a second reading. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that House File 1437 be laid on the table.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
All right, we're going to skip over the first bill and begin with number 117 on general orders, House File 1358, Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, we have before you House File 1358. This proposed language would allow municipalities to utilize Minnesota Statute 471.345, which is the Uniform Municipal Contracting Law, and capture revenue resulting from more accurate water meter readings. This revenue could then be used as part of an energy efficiency project, which municipalities often enter into. They're called guaranteed energy savings contracts. And that particular statute, there's a whole list of energy efficiency projects, including insulation, new storm windows, doors, automatic energy control systems, heating, ventilating, air conditioning systems. What this bill does is simply add one more, and the language is water metering devices that increase efficiency or accuracy of water measurement and thus reduce energy use. And so, of course, the old water meter reading technology was a guy walking around a neighborhood. Municipal employees no longer need to walk typically around or drive through neighborhoods to read water meters. So these new operational savings could be used as part of an energy efficiency project. So that's all we're doing is adding that new language to kind of update what's currently being done. Members, there's no known opposition to the bill. It has good bipartisan support, and I ask for a green vote.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File Number 1358, a bill for an act relating to local government, adding to the definition of energy conservation measure in the Uniform Municipal Contracting Law.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted who desire to vote. The Secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is House or Senate File 1698, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. 1698 is a weights and measurement bill. It has four sections, really. First one is dealing with the auditing that the Weights and Measures Division can review some relative documents within their auditing process. We've added coal as if you're using higher or lower measurements, that would be a misdemeanor violation along with some other provisions. The next section clarifies how diesel fuel is advertised at our local stations and is a clarification for the department. And the remaining sections of the bill deal with the upgrading to the ASTM 2014 standards, and hope for your support in this bill, and I'll stand for questions.
Are there any comments or questions? Senator Dames, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I stand in support of this bill. This bill does clean up some issues with the signage for the diesel fuel and the biofuel, so I would ask for a green vote.
Are there any other questions or comments? Are there any amendments? Seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 1698, a bill for an act relating to commerce, weights and measures, modifying the Commissioner of Commerce's powers.
Is there any other comments? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next on special orders is Senate File 1293, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this bill adds the crime of adulteration by bodily fluids. It was brought to me after a judge dismissed a criminal sexual conduct charge, finding that our own Minnesota's criminal sexual conduct statute does not address the issue of someone putting bodily fluids in someone else's food. So simply, this now adds both a misdemeanor and a gross misdemeanor to what is now within our code system. So members, please support this, and I look for a green. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion to the bill? Senator Hall, are you getting up to speak? Okay. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the author take a question?
So will the author yield? Senator Hoffman yields.
Senator Hoffman, I notice that there are some charges that are stronger charges than the other. Can you explain to me why that would be? Why all body fluids wouldn't be basically the same? Are some more harmful than others, or what's your reasoning for that?
Senator Hoffman.
Mr. President, Senator Hall, there are two things, and since you asked, I'm going to read. The bill now makes it a misdemeanor to knowingly put bodily fluids, including blood, seminal fluid, vaginal fluid, urine, or feces of a human in any substance that the person knows or should know is intended for human consumption. That is guilty of a misdemeanor. The second part, as a gross misdemeanor, it now makes it that if you knowingly put bodily fluids, including blood, seminal fluid, vaginal fluid, urine, or feces of any human in any substance that the person knows or should know is intended for human consumption, then that is, and that becomes ingested by someone, that becomes a gross misdemeanor. There's the difference.
Any further comments, questions, amendments? Seeing none, the secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 1293, a bill for an act relating to public safety, expanding the offense of fifth-degree criminal sexual conduct.
Any further comments? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Senator Sieben, do you desire to vote? All senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We'll revert back now to the first bill on special orders, Senator Marty, Senate File 1504.
Mr. President, thank you. Senate File 1504 is a bill from the Health Department. It would extend two task forces, e-Health Advisory Committee until 2021 and the State Trauma Advisory Committee until 2025. The department feels that the work they are doing is not done and would be done in that period of time. It also removes the sunset from Maternal and Child Health Advisory Task Force. That one's been around since 1982. It's already been extended about five times, and I think under federal law we may be required to have it, but they thought it wisest to just remove it because we will have ongoing advice from them. They've been very helpful to the department. And in committee, we added a provision that was of interest to, I think, both Senator Limmer's constituents and mine about stillbirths, some parents who lost a child that wanted to have a better look at it. We're asking the Maternal and Child Health Task Force to take a look at that. Be happy to stand for questions. I don't know of any opposition.
Are there any comments or questions on the bill? Senator Sieben.
Mr. President, I'd like to offer the A3 amendment, please.
Secretary will report the A3 amendment.
Senator Sieben moves to amend Senate File number 1504 as follows, page 2, and this is the A3 amendment.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I'd like to offer for your consideration the A3 amendment, which is the exact language with the exception of the appropriation that was contained in Senate File 1269, which is a bill I authored that is related to improving the safety and care of incarcerated pregnant and postpartum women with the goal of creating better birth outcomes for the child and better health for the mother. This bill has gone through the Judiciary Committee where it received unanimous support, and the bill is the result of a legislative advisory committee on the care of pregnant incarcerated women. The bill has the approval of the Department of Corrections and the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, as well as the Children's Defense Fund, the Minnesota Better Birth Coalition, and the University of Minnesota Department of Pediatrics. Essentially, the legislation is, as I said, this passed through the Judiciary Committee. The appropriation for that's attached to the legislation is contained in Senator Latz's Judiciary Budget Division, but the policy has not moved forward off the Senate floor. I'd also note for members that this exact language did pass the House already and is contained in the A3 amendment. Mr. Chair, I believe that Senator Limmer had comments. If I could ask him to speak next.
I go first? Senator Benson was up first, I think. So, Senator Benson, you have a comment or a question?
Yes.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not sure that this is germane to the underlying bill. And yes, it does extend a task force, but we're talking about restraints. We are talking about policies at incarceration facilities. That goes well beyond the scope of the bill that Senator Marty brought to the floor today. And I, for one, have not had the opportunity to review the bill and am now being asked to debate something that is fundamentally different than what Senator Marty has brought to the floor. And so I would ask for a ruling on the germaneness of this amendment.
Is there any advice on the appeal of the germaneness? Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, I would like to argue that this is germane. Senator Marty's underlying bill does deal with maternal health outcomes, as does the amendment that's before us. Both the underlying bill and the amendment that's before us is a result of legislative advisory committees. And so I think that if you look at the overlapping language, there is quite a bit that is consistent with the underlying goal of the bill.
Any further advice? Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President. But Senator Marty's bill deals with issues that are germane to the health committees. We have had the opportunity to review them. We have had adequate input. There is no crossover between these two policies. It is fundamentally different in its substance. And if the funding is in a judiciary bill, then the language can be added to that bill in conference committees that are ongoing. This does, Germania's ruling at this point does nothing to slow down the policy that Senator Sieben has indicated is already moving in the other body and has provisions in other places. I do not believe this is germane for the bill that is before us.
Is there any further advice? Members, having reviewed the bill and having reviewed the amendment, it appears to me that this amendment is intended to accomplish a substantially different purpose than the original bill to which it is proposed, and I'd rule that the amendment is not germane. Are there any other comments or questions to the bill? Senator Rood.
Mr. Chair, and will Senator Marty yield?
Senator Marty will yield.
Mr. Chair and Senator Marty, can you maybe give me some comments on the accountability of these advisory committees? You mentioned that one has been, the sunset has been renewed five times, and I'm just wondering, is there any accountability? Do you ever look at these task force to see if they're, you said one hadn't accomplished their mission after being renewed several times. So what's the process for looking at these task force and deciding whether they should be renewed and the sunset extended?
Sure. Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senator Rood, yes, good question. And bottom line is the legislature has been, we've been using these sunsets to take a look at whether these task forces, advisory councils, and so on are needed. And the first two, the two we're extending, are ones that they're in the midst of a process. They had a specific project to deal with. The third one, the one that we would be repealing the sunset on, Maternal and Child Health Advisory Task Force, did not have a specific project. They are ongoing advice to the Department of Health. And I think there is universal agreement among the task force has representatives of the community health boards, maternal and child health service professionals, consumer representatives, and so on. And the department has felt they've been very helpful, and they don't see this as a one-time project. We're going to continue to have maternal and child health issues before the department, and I think it's helpful for the public to have more input to the agency that way. And this is one that's going to continue to be ongoing need. So the decision was made to try and ask for a full repeal of that one. Again, I don't know of any opposition to it because the folks, again, we were giving them a new task right now. And that's the way they've been used in the past by the agency. Anytime there are questions related to maternal and child health, the commissioner turns to them. And they bring, that's the way they bring in professionals for advice. So I'd urge your support for doing it. Again, I think the department was very reasonable in saying two of these will have, they have a defined task. They will be done with it at a certain point in time. The third one is an ongoing thing. So rather than keep repealing it every, delaying it. Again, this has been in place since 1982, and I think there's been agreement across the spectrum that this has been a helpful task force.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Marty yield?
Senator Marty will yield. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Marty, I have a question about the Maternal and Child Health Advisory Task Force, and that has to do with the status of the task force as it is right now. In other words, has there been any sort of delay in the task force ability up to this point for it to do its job?
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senator Nelson, no, as far as I know, it's been going very well. They are being used on an ongoing basis by the agency to get feedback. Again, in the little amendment we had put on it in committee, asking them to take a look at the stillbirth issue, they are already looking at other issues, miscarriages and so on. They've been doing these things all along, and that's one of the ways that they bring health professionals in to get advice for the agency.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Marty, for that answer. I greatly appreciate the amendment that was added in committee regarding tracking stillbirths. But I do have one concern, and that has to do with actually the advice that citizens are able to give to this board. For example, the board was seeking applicants. The applications closed in mid-January from citizens across the state, and yet no appointments have been made. But what's even more worrisome is the people who applied have not even been notified about whether or not they were selected. So I'm quite worried that there may be a glitch here in actually the task force getting the advice from the advisory citizens because they're not being appointed.
Senator Nelson, is there a question there?
Mr. President?
Senator Nelson.
There was not a question, that was a comment.
Okay, Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senator Nelson, the one reason one might not make new appointments to it is it's scheduled to die as a task force in a month and a half. And if we extend it, then there's reason to make appointments again. But I think I'm just speculating one reason you might not make appointments is if it's going to shut down in a month. So I'm hoping that by passing this, we will express concern to the governor's office, make sure appointments are made quickly if this passes.
Mr.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Marty. That was the exact reason for my first question. And so I do appreciate the fact that this task force will continue on. Perhaps this is a good reason why there is not a end date on this task force. We cannot afford to prevent Minnesota citizens from being involved on important task force like this one particularly because of lack of appointments. And I do appreciate the opportunity to bring this to the attention of the Senate and the department. Thank you.
Are there any further comments or questions on the bill? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 1504 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1504, a bill for an act relating to health, changing the expiration date for the eHealth Advisory Committee, the Trauma Advisory Council, and the Maternal and Child Health Advisory Task Force.
Any further comments? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll.
This should be, I hope you're okay with this. Yep, I agree.
All senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and 3 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
He might refer you to her, so that's fine. Yeah.
We will now go to Senate File 233, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members, Senate File 233 is a bill to add the largest national ambulatory health care accrediting organization in the country to Minnesota's statutory list of nationally recognized independent organizations. This was overlooked when the statute was put into law, and it is important to just make sure that all of our local entities have the largest variety of choices. The Accreditation Association for Ambulatory Healthcare is recognized by Center for Medicare, U.S. Air Force, Coast Guard, HRSA, Medicare Advantage, Patient Protection and Affordable Care System, and currently approved by 43 other states. There's no cost to the state to add this optional accrediting entity, no mandate to use any specific one from the list of entities. I have two handouts on your desk. One is a letter of support from the Minnesota Ambulatory Surgery Center Association, including a list of their members around the state. The other handout is a source document on the AAAHC. There was no opposition in committee, and members, please vote yes on its Senate File 233. Thank you.
Are there any comments or questions on Senate File 233? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 233 its third reading.
Senate File Number 233, a bill for an act relating to health, providing additional accrediting organization for ambulatory health care.
Any further or final comments? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll. All senators voting who desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next on the special orders, we'll revert to number 97 on special orders, Senate File 1765. Senator Rosen. Is Senator Rosen around? Senator Rosen. Senator Rosen, Senate File 1765.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 1765 is the Board of Pharmacy bill. There's a number of these. It addresses four different issues. The first, it further defines the definition and scope for a pharmacy technician. The second issue, it allows the pharmacist to provide immunizations to a greater number of individuals. Since 2002, pharmacists have been able to do immunizations, and they are currently allowed to administer any vaccine to adults to children to age 10. This Senate File 1765 lowers the age of influenza vaccines to age 6, and only booster dose or the completion of a vaccine series to patients from age 13 through age 17 that does not include the initial dose of a vaccine. It also, a pharmacist must check with the Minnesota Immunization Information Connection prior to administering the vaccine when giving except when giving a flu shot to individuals that's 9 years age or older. And also, the pharmacist must report administration of the vaccine to the Minnesota Immunization Information Connection, and strikes the requirement to notify the patient's primary physician. The third thing it does, it allows the pharmacist to supervise three technicians to one pharmacist at a time. Currently, the statute says it's two technicians to one, but because of an agreement that was met by the board and a large group, a coalition of groups that decided that it was necessary to go to 3-to-1, and that frees up the pharmacist to carry on other duties such as counseling, medication therapy, and immunizations, all duties that the technician, pharmacy technician, is not allowed to do. Last but not least, it also increases the size of the board of the pharmacy. Currently, it is 7 members, 5 pharmacists, and 2 public members. We're going to 3 public members and 6 pharmacists. And the reason is because the complaints and disciplinary actions have tripled in the last few years, and they need to increase the size of the board to basically not burn out the board members. There is a small fiscal note on that is going to be absorbed by the board of $14,000. Mr. President, members, I ask for your support.
Are there any comments or questions on Senate File 1765? Any amendments? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 1765 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1765, a bill for an act relating to health, modifying definitions, increasing the permitted ratio of pharmacy technicians to pharmacists.
Any further comments? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll. All senators voting who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we'll take up the fifth order of business, reports of committees. This is on the addendum. Senator Latz, would you like to make a motion?
Mr. President, on behalf of Senator Bach, I move the committee reports printed in the addendum be adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion adopted. Now reverting to the sixth order of business, bills printed on the addendum will be given their second reading. Second reading. On the seventh order of business, second reading of House files. House File 303 is printed on the addendum, second reading. The eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are none. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. Are there any announcements? Senator Latz.
Mr. President, the Judiciary Conference Committee will meet 15 minutes following the conclusion of business by the House, as they are still in session. We will be in 400 south of the State Office Building.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, there is a very special medical system here in Minnesota, the Mayo Medical System. And last Saturday, one part of the Mayo Medical System, the Mayo Clinic's Nurse Anesthesia Education Program, celebrated its 125th anniversary, 125 years, continuous educational system. So, Madam President, I was able to put forward a Senate resolution, and I have some members today who will join with me and share in the reading of the Senate resolution. Whereas starting with the pioneering work of Edith Graham Mayo, RN, in 1889, Mayo Clinic now has the longest-serving continuous
just
program.
Just a minute, Senator Kiffmeyer. Senator Bach.
Madam President, the custom of the Senate is to recess for these resolutions, so I don't object to reading it. Let me just move for a recess of the Senate.
All those in favor of the motion to recess, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach, we had that discussion up here, and we thought it would be appropriate during announcements, but... it's fine. Senator Kiffmeyer, continue.
Thank you, Madam President. So they are the longest-serving continuous program in nurse anesthesia education in existence and has been accorded international recognition for professional leadership in this discipline, including Alice McGaugh, RN, hailed as the mother of nurse anesthesia, along with many other Mayo Clinic nurse anesthesia pioneers. And
Senator Laurie.
Madam President, whereas Mayo Clinic alumni are engaged in providing anesthesia to more than 100,000 surgical cases and procedures at Mayo Clinic each year, and have upheld the highest standards of anesthesia care through civilian, military, academic, and anesthesia volunteerism leadership, and...
Sarah Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Whereas Mayo Clinic's nurse anesthetist education supports the primary value... the needs of the patient come first in a unique, team-based, collaborative culture and prepares students to practice in both the anesthesia care team and independent practices and...
Senator Sanchem.
Whereas more than 2,000 graduates of Mayo Clinic's nurse anesthesia education program have advanced the standard of excellence in practice, education, and research at Mayo Clinic locations and other medical centers throughout the United States and abroad, and whereas professional and educational milestones, including more than 300 poster presentations, 150 research projects, and 50 peer-reviewed articles have been attained by Mayo student nurse anesthetists and graduates, and...
Sarah Sharon.
And whereas Mayo Clinic's nurse anesthetist education program has consistently obtained the highest level of accreditation approval from the Nurse Anesthetist Program National Accreditation Body, and whereas Mayo Clinic opened a new chapter of professional education with the establishment of the Doctor of Nurse Anesthetist Practice in 2014, and...
Senator Kiffmeyer.
And whereas on May 2, 2015, Mayo Clinic commemorates 125 years of unparalleled service in the profession of nurse anesthesia education, and now therefore be it resolved by the Senate of the State of Minnesota that it congratulates the Mayo Clinic's Nurse Anesthesia Education Program on its 125th anniversary. Thank you, Madam President, and thank you to Mayo Clinic Anesthesia School.
Thank you, members. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise as well with the Senate resolution proclaiming May 6th to the 12th, 2015 as Nurses Week. I rise to recognize this annual celebration of Nurses Week. We, in this case, honor the contributions made by more than 116,000 nurses who are licensed in our state and the legacy of those remarkable professionals who have gone before them. Nurses Week begins today and ends on May 12th, the birthday of modern nursing's pioneer, Florence Nightingale. Nurses care, not only for individuals, but for whole communities as well. and I am proud to stand today to support and express solidarity with my fellow nurses, the most trusted professionals in America. According to the Gallup Honest and Ethic Poll, for the 15 of the last 16 years running, nurses has been identified as the most trusted professionals in America. Nurses care with dedication, courage, and hard work. Nurses are under some of the most stress-filled circumstances one can imagine. Many nurses are injured in their duties. In fact, nurses are 3 times more likely to apply for workers' compensation as a result of these injuries than construction workers or peace officers. Nurses Week is the opportunity to shine a light on this very noble profession. With that in mind, I'd like to yield to my colleague who is also a nurse, Senator Mary Kiffmeyer.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Nurses care for us when we take in our first breath and exhale our last. They care for us in myriad settings, including large medical centers, local hospitals, outpatient clinics, nursing homes, veterans' homes, community facilities, and even in our own homes. Now and in the future, nursing will continue to be an indispensable component in the safety and quality of care Minnesotans receive. Nurses are at the forefront of innovation for the delivery of care wherever it needs to be delivered. Yet amidst the rapid and transformative changes occurring in healthcare, we can be assured nurses will always carry the ethical torch of advocacy to ease our worries and guide us towards healing. I would now like to yield to my colleague, Senator Chris Eaton.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer some quick facts. A study found nurses perform 72.3 tasks per hour, with the average time per task being just 55 seconds. The same study found nurses spend just 37% of their time with patients. Most of the time is dedicated to other tasks, such as medication and documentation. And an average ICU nurse takes between 8,000 and 12,000 steps during a 12-hour shift, or something between 4 and 7 miles a day. In Minnesota, we take pride in our high-quality health care. So, too, let us honor this proud profession with its rigorous training and education. Some nurses are here in the Capitol with us today. And to you and those watching from around the state, we salute you and all the ways you care for us, our families, our communities, and everyone in Minnesota. Nurses care, and we care for nurses. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Are there any other resolutions? Then the Senate will come to order. Announcements. Senator Kiffmeyer, did you have more to add?
This is, Madam President, I do. Just a quick announcement.
All right. Under announcements, though.
Yes.
Okay. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Would you rather, Madam President, at a different time?
I asked if there were any other resolutions, so I assume that there were. Is this a resolution again, Senator Kiffmeyer? Okay. So we're back in order, and we're under announcements. Without further objection, the following members will be excused from today's session: Senator Brown, Ortman, all day; Senator Torres-Ray, 11 to 11:20; Senator Pratt, 11 to 11:20; Senator Goodwin, 11 to 11:30; Senator Schmidt, 11 to 11:30; Senator Westrum, 11 to 11:45; Senator Bach, 11:20 to 12:00. All right, I'm sorry. Are there any other announcements? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, Madam President and members, tomorrow is the day I will be bringing bread, jam, cinnamon honey butter from our home, wheat ground fresh in the morning, raspberries from our garden. We thoroughly enjoy our whole family bringing this for you. So tomorrow it will be here. Thank you, Madam President.
Announcement. Senator Senchum.
Thank you, Madam President. Just want to maybe announce that tomorrow we'll have the national champion Minnesota Gopher women's hockey team with us in advance of session, and so people be here on time. It would be good. We want to recognize those wonderful individuals.
Thank you, Senator Senchum. Any other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do not adjourn until Thursday, May 7th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.